epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
My dad always told a great story, sidetracking. This is the kind of morning it's going to be. Just get used to it. Roll with it, baby. I'm going to get right to you, Steve. My dad always told a great story as Paul McCartney, I said, announced that he's going back on tour, coming back to North America. Nothing around here, though. He's got to add a New York date. I know he did those pop-up concerts in the city a few months ago, but he's got to be closer than Buffalo. Like, that's as close as he's getting to New York City. He's got to get closer. Come on, Paulie. The guy is, what, 80? He's born in 83? Just turned 83, right? He's born in 42. June 18th, 1942. So he's 83 years old, still touring, just went and did Europe and South America, and now he's coming back to North America. But my dad always told a story about going to see The Who, Madison Square Garden, I guess 1973, 74, whenever Band on the Run came out, I think 73, maybe 72, I don't know, something like that, early 70s. And something happened, and The Who didn't come out for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. Something happened, the concert was delayed, and everybody was in Madison Square Garden just waiting for The Who to come out. And inside Madison Square Garden, they started playing Band on the Run, and the entire building broke out in song, and they played like the first four or five songs off the album. Band on the Run, Jet. I don't know what's next after Jet. I'm trying to think. Not Bluebird. Doesn't matter. But yeah, the entire Band on the Run album was playing through the speakers, and the entire crowd broke into song and was singing Band on the Run, waiting for The Who to come out. I would have just hung out and listened to Band on the Run. Forget The Who. Just play Paulie. That's all you need. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I can't wait for the call. I was there that night. It was August 3rd, 1974. Something happened with Roger Daltrey's foot. He was icing it up in the back. Then he finally came out. But we were singing Band on the Run the entire night. I remember that. I was there. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Staten Island. What's up, Steve?
McMonagle and Zoo on the midnight.
That's
right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bring that morning energy to the show here, gentlemen.
Let's
Thank
go.
You
bring
for
it.
Taking my call. Yeah, buddy. So here's my thing, guys. I'm a relatively new baseball fan. I was always a Met fan. That's what I was raised into.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to follow sports and follow up on all the teams, New York teams, right? So here's my thing, right? You have this guy named Boone, Aaron Boone, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to talk anything nonsense, but here's the thing. Everybody keeps saying how all the Yankees are playing in the wrong position. Or they're saying like they brought these guys up that they have all this hope for, and they're not producing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the manager not doing that? Like, what is this? Is this Cashman? You know, like I'm a Mets fan, right? And I like when Mendoza changes the lineup, I feel like there's something behind it. When Boone changes the lineup, I'm not sure what this guy's doing. So I'm just curious, as an independent ball viewer. How is everybody okay with this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I honestly don't see the difference. Why What about Aaron Boone's lineup decisions do you not understand where Mendoza's makes sense?
I feel like this guy just pulls things out of the hat and throws it out.
I don't know why you feel that way. As a Yankee fan watching the team every day, I understand exactly why the moves, we could agree with it or disagree with it, and that's fair. Whether or not you want to keep Dominguez at the top, no matter whether he hits right-handed or left-handed or whatever you want to, you know, do, whether you are a firm believer in Judge hitting second or Judge hitting third. But, I mean, he loves to keep it left-handed, right-handed. He's been hitting Goldschmidt at the top of the order against left-handed pitching, and over recently it's been Dominguez at the top of the order against right-handed pitching. I think the order has been pretty much lefty-righty with the best hitters available after one another. Like, I don't think there's been anything other than guys' days off. Like, you know, and the idea that, you know, a lot of Yankee fans feel like you don't believe in hot. A guy will have three hits and then the next day not play. But as far as, like, where guys are in the lineup, I don't think there's ever anything where it's like, well, that just doesn't make sense at all.
Well, fair enough. But what about watching social media that this guy is playing in the wrong position? Like, for example, Chisholm is now going to second base.
Yes.
Why wasn't he at second base this whole time?
Because DJ LeMahieu told the Yankees he physically could not play third. And the Yankees offense was going through a major struggle at the time, and Peraza sucks offensively, and DJ was hitting 300. So DJ had to be in the lineup more than not because he was hitting 300 and Peraza stinks, and he could only play second base. So they moved him over to third.
Agreed, but doesn't the coach need to make the best decision based on what the player is best at?
And that was the best decision in the moment, and then it went on long enough where they couldn't do it anymore. And then the offense picked back up again, but they weren't ready to make a commitment to just playing Peraza every day when he can't hit, and DJ was, you know, still making $15 million and was hitting 300 with no pop, no power or anything, but was still hitting. They believe that was the best way to go about it. And quite honestly, last year, Jazz was one of the better defensive third basemen in the league. His run prevention was at like 8, and he only did it for half a season. So he was very good defensively at third last year. And despite telling him he was a second baseman and despite him being better at second base, they felt like it wasn't going to be that all that of a problem. And then it became one. And it went on too long. I'm not saying it didn't, but they didn't. Last year he was good defensively. They didn't expect him to be poor defensively. He hurt his shoulder and the throws suffered. And then the team went through a massive offensive slump, and they felt like they couldn't take a 300 hitter out instead of putting in Peraza, even though it hurt them defensively.
Understandable. Thank you for the clarification. Mm-hmm. But what about all these prospects, Rice, Volpe, not living up to their... Is that a manager thing,
no,
or is that the player?
Yeah, I think it's the player. I think it's a little bit of everything, I suppose. But who says Ben Rice isn't living up to expectations? Nobody knew who the hell Ben Rice was 2 years ago. Like, before he came up last year, he was a catching prospect who nobody heard that much, got hot in for a month and then came up last year. And this year, despite only hitting 220, you look at some of his numbers, he's hitting the ball hard, as hard as anyone in baseball. Like, he's literally in the top, 20 players in Major League Baseball with hard hit. His expecting batting average in balls put in play is through the roof, and he's been, like, sometimes bad luck is overblown, but the dude hits the ball hard and has had zero luck. He sees as many pitches as anybody in baseball. Like, offensively, he's been good. So I think right now we're all pretty thrilled with Ben Rice. Now, Anthony Volpe, absolutely. Anthony Volpe was the sixth top prospect in Major League Baseball. Not the Yankees farm system, Major League Baseball. Voted by the Major League Pipeline and all those, whoever else does it. He was the sixth best prospect. And you mentioned the Mets. How many of their prospects have failed? Is that coaching? Let's be honest. Beatty was the top third base prospect in all of baseball. How has he performed? Alvarez was the top prospect in all of baseball. How has he performed? He's in the minor leagues right now. Vientos, after having an incredible season last year, has been extremely disappointing so far this season. And I'm only bringing that up because you played the dichotomy of the Mets do things with a purpose and the Yankees don't. And the Yankees' issues with their prospects, I mean, the Mets have had them too. Everyone's sent down. What's Acuna hitting this year? So, like, it worked. It's the same thing for, you know, for Mets and Yankees. The same thing for a lot of teams. But the problem with Anthony Volpe, like, I don't know. And, I want to have a conversation about Anthony Volpe because Alex Rodriguez, and I've talked about this a little bit, but now it's gotten ramped up because of Alex Rodriguez's comments. Alex Rodriguez spoke to Michael Kay. And he talked about what Anthony Volpe should be doing. And he spoke on Anthony Volpe and hitting 215, and you can't have your shortstop for a Major League Baseball winning franchise, a World Series franchise, hitting 215. And he cares too much about pop, and he should hit line drives, stop trying to drive the baseball in the air. And let me get Chris Kirschner, because he put out a great tweet about this. But anyway, Alex Rodriguez was talking about the idea that he should try and spray the ball around. He would become a 280 hitter instead of a 215 hitter. He'd rather see him hit 280 and 10 home runs and bunt and get the ball down on the ground, use his legs, kind of a slap hitter, be that, play good defense, be that kind of guy, as opposed to the guy who hits 20, 25 home runs possibly and drives in some runs but hits 215 and is constantly swinging too hard and everything like that. And that's fine and all. And I think here's the misconception, because a lot of people like, exactly. And idiots like McMonagall say different. It's not that I say different. I think everyone. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone. From Hal Steinbrenner to Brian Cashman to Aaron Boone to Anthony Volpe to all of us. Everyone agrees with Alex Rodriguez that that's what we would like to see from Anthony Volpe. If Anthony Volpe could hit a 280, 290 average, put the ball in play, steal 40 bases, that's another thing Alex Rodriguez said, steal 40 bases, be that kind of player. Absolutely. I think everyone inside the Yankee organization right now would sign for Anthony Volpe to hit 280, only hit 10 home runs, drive in 50, 60 runs, be an on-base guy, slap the ball all over the field, cut down on his strikeouts, put the ball in play, play great defense, and be a table setter for this team, either at the top of the lineup or the bottom of the lineup. Absolutely. Everyone would sign for it. Here's the problem. He's not good enough to do it. That's the issue. It's not that Alex Rodriguez is wrong about the approach that Anthony Volpe should have. I think we all agree that is the approach that Anthony Volpe, ultimately, we would love to see that player of Anthony Volpe. But here's the issue, and Chris Kirschner put out this tweet about it. A-Rod says Volpe should try and hit low-line drives and ground balls. So what do the stats say? Volpe's career numbers on balls batted with a launch angle of less than 15 degrees, he has a 715 OPS. Volpe's career numbers on batted balls with a launch angle of 14 degrees or higher, 15 degrees or higher, he has a 984 OPS. Last year, they've talked about this. John Boy talked about this with Aaron Boone. John Boy has gone over all the stats. If you listen to Talking Yanks, and that's where I've gotten a lot of this, so I'll give credit to them because they've given these numbers a bunch. Anthony Volpe changed his approach last year. And I remember watching the games as they were talking about it and agreeing with them. Watch Anthony Volpe last year. Anthony Volpe last year changed his approach. His bat speed went down. He was swinging less hard. He was trying to slap the ball around. He was trying to become a little bit more of the player that Alex Rodriguez suggested. He wasn't good at it. He was worse than he was as a rookie swinging hard. Then if you look at his numbers in the postseason last year, he picked up his bat speed, went back to swinging hard, and had more success. If Anthony Volpe was the type of hitter who was proficient at that, then I think we'd all agree that would be a great element that he could add to this team and impact the team in the best way. I don't know if he's that kind of hitter. I don't know what kind of hitter he is. Right now, he's not a good enough hitter. But any success he's had, has been swinging hard and trying to drive the baseball. That's it. Now, are there certain swings in particular? And Alex Rodriguez referenced one of them, and I agree. Sometimes, even with two strikes, he will swing so hard he falls to a knee. I agree. With a two-strike approach, he's got to do it better, and the Yankees should be helping him do it better. And just because he, you know, I don't think he necessarily is trying to hit the ball for a home run. He's just trying to hit the ball hard. He's swinging the bat hard. He wants to hit high. He wants to hit with high velocity. He wants to hit the ball hard. He's not trying to dink and dunk. He's trying to hit the ball hard. And any success he's had at the major league level, and it's been minimal, but any success he's had, whether it's the beginning of last year or whether it's because then he started to, after the beginning, he went into a big slump and tried to change. Whether it's a little bit at the beginning of last year, the beginning of this year, his first rookie season when he hit 20 home runs, or the postseason last year, his success has been when he's trying to swing hard and hit the ball hard. Now, right now, he's having zero success. So, again, I don't know what Anthony Volpe is. And I'm fully on board, and I've been saying this. I defend him just because we've seen it a little bit, and I'm rooting for him. And I feel like Yankee fans don't allow you to, you're not allowed to root for Anthony Volpe anymore. That's it. We've made up our collective minds. Anthony Volpe's a bust and he sucks. And stop trying to root for him, Chris, because it's pointless. And any suggestion that he won a gold glove or that he had a good postseason, all you're doing is propping up a bust. So stop doing it. And by the way, those were never good anyway. I don't know. I can't explain the postseason. It's just, let's just pretend like it didn't happen. And then the gold glove, he wasn't good enough, didn't deserve it. It was a political thing. And, you know, because he's young, Italian, and a Yankee, that's why he got the vote. So that's where I push back. I still want to root for him. And I've seen some success, and I hope it shows up in the second half. But I think I don't know what kind of hitter he is. And if he hits 130 for the rest of the year, the Yankees are in trouble. And he can't be the shortstop next year. I think we all agree with that. But the idea like, oh, hey, just, you know, become Rod Carew for a bit. It doesn't work. It's not that I disagree with what Alex Rodriguez is saying. I don't think Anthony Volpe's good at it. I don't think he's capable of it. I think if it was that easy to just make that conscious decision and then go about doing it, he would. Let's go to Jack in Wilton. What's up, Jack?
How are you today?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. Thank you. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy your show. You do a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. You're great.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Broadcaster. So, I have a little thought exercise for you about the Yankees. I would love to, you know, we love to complain as baseball fans, we, you know, the highs and the lows, you know, we don't, as fans, we go overboard. So let's take a step back and let's take a look at Brian Cashman, who we love to complain about. Now, over the last 10 years, I think we can all agree that he's a Hall of Famer. The mm-hmm. body of work is, it's inarguable. That guy's going to the Hall of Fame. But over the last 10 years, my question for you is this. Mm-hmm. What grade would you give Brian Cashman? Let's look at a little bit of the evidence before I let you take the floor mm-hmm. on your own show.
Uh-huh. I got you.
And that is, we've had some terrible trade deadlines. We've had some prospect hugging where they prospects have come and had incredible value and then have totally cratered. Mm-hmm. We've seen guys like Sanchez, Bird, Frazier, Andujar, guys come up. We held on to those guys. Glaber, thank you. I mean, at least Glaber gave you an 18 WAR over 6 years. At least he did something. Mm-hmm. You have all of these guys, the prospect hugging, all of this stuff.
Well, I mean, some of them aren't fair to be like. I mean, let's be honest. Gary Sanchez, you want to trade a 34 run catcher who hits 34 home runs? You know that we use the word unicorn in sports a lot since Porzingis. That's a unicorn, my friend. Like right now, what Kyle Raleigh is doing is outrageous. Like he was the premier power bat at the position in the sport. And then he fell off. Like, I don't know how you want to trade. And Greg Bird never took flight. The dude got hurt all the time. I don't know if he had value to trade him necessarily. I think Andujar is somewhat fair. I guess Clint Frazier is somewhat fair, but he never could stay on the damn field and then he had concussion issues. So, like, I don't know what value he ever had. Like, some of them, Gleyber Torres, you could have moved on from earlier than they did and got value back for him, but he was also their third best hitter in the postseason into the World Series last year. So, like, I think you're looking at a couple. I think your long list really boils down to a couple.
Okay, fair. But let's keep going on the exercise. So we've got one more negative, then I'm also going to go to the positive.
Sure, sure.
Go ahead. On the negative side, we go into a World Series. We have a World Series team last year mm-hmm. with a first baseman who hit. The last home run we hit as a first baseman was on July 31st last year.
Yep.
So we had no power at first base and a left fielder who was a 200 hitter.
Yeah.
And who was just cut by the Braves, and Anthony Rizzo isn't even in baseball. That was two-ninths of our lineup last
year. Can I stop you 1 second, though, just before we finish?
Please.
Some kind of manager to take that team to the World Series, huh?
Right. Interesting point.
Yep. Go ahead now. I just had this. Some kind of manager who had a dud at first and a dud at left field take a team to the World Series. But go ahead, please continue.
Interesting point. On the plus side, at no point in Brian Cashman's entire career have the New York Yankees had a losing season.
I feel like that's a significant one, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So that needs to be weighed pretty heavily.
Yes.
You could argue that in 17 and 19, they were truly robbed in terms of illegal.
Yeah,
you can bring that up. So as you look at this body of work, the lack of development, some bad trade deadlines, Gallo, Montas, even signing Stroman over Blake Snell to save some money. And we could certainly talk about how.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Brian Cashman's last decade of work?
Brian Cashman's last decade, so now it's 20, so you got to go back to 15.
Yeah.
Overall, since 15, you see, it's tough, because if you go the last six, I would say a C. If you go the last 10, I probably bump it up to a B-, because I honestly do believe, 16, I think I think if you go to 15, he makes a trade, Shane Green for Didi Gregorius.
Yes.
I think that's a pretty good one. 2016, they break it down. And immediately the next year, they are back in the ALCS Game 7 and have a team that you just said might have been good enough to win the World Series if not cheated.
Yep.
2018, he makes a trade that I don't think you can turn down for an MVP in Giancarlo Stanton. They win 100-plus games, lose to a Red Sox team. 2019, he somehow finds a way for a roster that lost everybody to get Gio Urshela for $25,000. He gets Luke Voit, who comes in and then has a 900 OPS career for the New York Yankees, and in 2020 leads Major League Baseball in home runs. He signs DJ LeMahieu to a very easy two-year, $12 million per contract, and he only wins a batting title and finishes third for the MVP. So I feel like from 15 and even 14 in the Didi trade, like from that to 2020, I think it's an A. I think he does an incredible job. Incredible job. From 21 to present date, I would give it a C.
Yeah. Going into the season without left fielders, the lack of lineup balance. I mean, they're 2 years where 23.
The roster 23 was atrocious. Even with Judge, they still might have made the playoffs if Judge was healthy the whole year, but the roster wasn't very good. And then last year, he trades for Juan Soto. Now, again, we all know, and part of me thinks the owner pushed it and he might not have wanted to give up Michael King, but he trades for Juan Soto to get back to the World Series. They went to the World Series since 09. I got to give him a good grade for last year, and this year is obviously incomplete. So let's take away last year was good, but I think 14 to 20, he gets an A. From 20 to 23, he gets a D, and last year he gets a B+. So break that all together. Let's just call it a C+.
Okay. So how do we feel about Cashman's legacy? How do we feel about him?
I think he's a Hall of Famer, and whenever it's time to go, and it might be after this year, if they fall on their face, if he has a bad trade deadline, and this team, and off the pivot of losing Juan Soto, isn't good enough in a down American League, while better than last year and not terrible, but a down American League where he, in my mind, has to make the postseason. If they don't make the postseason or they're a wild card team and losing the wild card round, I would be open to moving on from Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. If they don't make the playoffs, I think you have to move on from Aaron Boone. And I would say thank you, Brian Cashman, for 26 years of, for me, a really freaking good run and a lot of good memories as a Yankee fan, and more good than bad. And I know many people feel differently about that, I guess, but like I would be super appreciative, and I would say we better hope the next guy's as good as Brian, because this isn't as easy as everybody thinks. But in my mind, the Brian Cashman has done a really good job over his tenure. And I think I'm glad you did that. I'm really glad you did that. Thank you very much. Because that was like able for me to like speak to my Brian Cashman take. And I know I play into the shill thing. I have some fun with it, with the Brian Cashman shill stuff. But I think that was a good opportunity to explain. Like, I'm not saying it's all been great. The last 5 years, not good enough. But I do think the 5 years before that, even without championships, I thought were pretty freaking good. I thought he did a really damn good job. They spent $1 billion or close to it in 2009. They won the one championship, but then it cost them. You have Alex Rodriguez in that contract and missing years for being suspended, and then the wrist issues of Mark Teixeira and everything else. They paid the devil to win the championship, and then it cost them for a bunch of years. 14, 15, 16. They has to break it down. You know, you have those years of Vernon Wells. You have those years of Lyle Overbay. You have those years where the team stinks and really doesn't have a chance to win. And it was amazing that they kept the record of staying above 500. And then he broke it down in 16 and was right back. And then 17, 1,800 games, 1,900 games. The team is falling apart around him. Judge misses 100 games. Stanton misses the whole year. And Duhar misses the whole year. And he finds all these Mike Tauchmans and Cameron Maybins. And like he pieces together a team that still wins 100-plus games, wins the division, and is in the ALCS Game 6. I think that's a pretty damn good job. It doesn't win a championship, but I think it's a pretty damn good job. So for me, I think a rough stretch from 2009 to 2014, but from the Didi Gregorius trade, and Zoo, while I ramble here, do me a favor, find out the exact time. When was the Didi Gregorius trade with the New York? When did the Yankees trade for Didi Gregorius? But from the Didi Gregorius, from the 2009 championship team to the Didi trade, not great.
December 5th.
Of what year?
2014.
14. So December of 14, so it's the 15 season, is the first year Didi's with the Yankees. So from 10 to 14, not very good. But from 14 to 20, even without championships, I think Brian Cashman did an incredible job. Not a good job, an incredible job. From 14 to 20, even without a World Series title, I think Brian Cashman did an incredible job. From 21 to present date, not as good again. Not as good again. Bad trade deadlines, not as good again. And we'll see what this year brings. The early returns on the pivot off of Juan Soto, I think, are pretty good. But he's got to have the season. It's incomplete. They're two games back of the Toronto Blue Jays. He has to win the division. He's the best. I think they're the best team in the division. He should have. They need to finish as the best team in the division. And then we'll see what happens in the postseason. So I think I'm being fair. I think finally someone gave me an opportunity to talk about there's a stretch of great, there's a stretch of bad. And as of late, not great. But from 15 to 19 and 20, I think that's a five-year run of excellent work from the general manager. I really do. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Back with more after this. All right, 139. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. A lot of Yankees talk. We can get to the Mets, obviously. David Wright, the Wright years, right? Is that what it's called? They're doing his documentary tonight, airing on SNY. Obviously, Saturday will be the David Wright day. They are going to retire David Wright's number 5 and hang the jersey in the rafters alongside Keith Hernandez and Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry and Mike Piazza and Gary Carter and everybody else. Should be a great day. And look, you know, he was a... You know, for Met fans of this generation, David Wright was the man. He was, and unfortunately, a lot like Don Mattingly, a career shut down too early by back injuries. I mean, he was one of the great players in the league. He was on his way to a Hall of Fame caliber career. Excellent defensive third baseman. He's the exact kind of player the Yankees need right now. I mean, he was incredible. Very good defensive player, obviously an offensive threat, good guy. Everything was about the team, leader of the team, captain of the team. You know, you don't hate that he got the contract because he deserved it, but unfortunately it just never worked out at the end. At the really 15 and the World Series run was kind of the end of David Wright and that tenure and that era of Met baseball, unfortunately. So, but the documentary tonight on SNY and then the game obviously on Saturday where they retire his number.
Now, bro, I do have something for you here, and I don't know if you saw it today or not, but there was a video posted where they talked about Mets captains online.
I didn't watch the video entirely. I got to be honest with you. I was doing stuff with the kids. I said I was coaching flag football, and then I came home, and I needed a cat nap before I came here. But people are saying that there's some sort of – I saw someone saying it's interesting. Like, are they signaling to the idea that there might be an announcement of a next captain?
I mean, that to me would be, listen, perfect opportunity to do it with Wright there, but I don't know if that's what you want to do on David Wright Day.
What was in the video?
They included Lindor.
They included Lindor in it. In this hype video for the day? Explain the whole the video to me.
I got to watch it again. I just watched it quickly while I was on the train earlier.
I'll look at it during the break.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Just talk right, to the
we'll,
idea really quickly.
We'll
I'll watch
the
it.
It's idea. Only like a we're minute. Gonna watch. We're gonna watch this thing. See exactly what the video is and the idea that Lindor's. It would be something, and I think knowing David Wright, I think David Wright would love it. If David Wright could pass the torch on David Wright Day to the next captain of the New York Mets, Lindor, that would be.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
That would be incredible. That really would be something. That and I mean, talk about being selfless and letting someone else share in your moment. Like Francisco Lindor being announced the captain, David Wright being the one who does it, that would be really special. I think it would be really special. Now, I understand, do you want to do it on David Wright Day and take away from David Wright? David Wright is around, right? He could come up on any day and be there for the announcement. I think he would be. Whenever they made the announcement, I expect David Wright probably would be there. So it doesn't have to be on David Wright Day. I would like David Wright to be there. But that would be such a just a David Wright thing to make it, to be a selfless kind of thing and let, Francisco Lindor share in the day with him.
And I just checked it out and because I only skimmed it really earlier. It's blatantly Lindor. As soon they're basically comparing the two in the middle of it,
yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I have a hard time believing.
What's the video for? It's just promoting the day, or like what's
it's
the...
it's base. If you were to tell me this is the video they're going to show in the stadium, I would believe you.
Right? Okay.
Like it's that. I mean, produced, put together.
Yeah,
it's got all the
is that the one where like there's the clip? I got to watch it again during the break. But is that the one where like there's the clip of Buck Showalter talking about how what a team player Lindor is, or it's just like a picture of Lindor?
No, they have highlights of Lindor hitting the home run last year versus Phillies. I believe that one. But they have highlights of Lindor,
okay,
along with earlier in the video, they have Hernandez, they have Carter, they have other, you know, Mets captains through the years.
Oh, well, I mean, that's pretty blatant.
Yeah, it's pretty on the nose.
They're not necessarily hiding anything. That would be an incredible day.
If you have a chance to get to
City Field on Saturday, you should take that opportunity and go.
I kind of have an idea, though.
Okay.
I think that maybe you do this on Friday before the game.
That's not a bad idea.
Just start the second half with it. That way
right.
You get to the day, Lindor can do all the, you know,
yeah,
hey, here's our captain now presenting this. Here's
yes.
the captain now presenting, you know,
yeah,
that
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea either.
And Wright's here, you know, so.
Yeah. But but the idea that an announcement is imminent on who on Lindor becoming the next captain of the Mets on, you know, or near David Wright Day, that's awesome. I have to admit, that's awesome.
It's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I grew up, I mean, I'm
he
right
deserves
in that.
It. Lindor deserves it. He is the captain of this team. He absolutely is. He deserves to be a captain. He's a great player. He was the first big move from this owner. Taking the big contract, you know, I mean, he was traded. It wasn't a free agent signing, but still, he didn't have to sign the extension. He signs the contract, makes the commitment to the Mets. He goes through it a little bit with the fans. There's even like an arc to the whole character. Like he starts with the thumbs down and everything, and ultimately it culminates in last year taking control of that meeting and then going on the run from after becoming the leadoff hitter and taking them to the NLCS. Lindor absolutely deserves to be the captain. He absolutely should be the captain. And the idea that you're going to do it around or close to David Wright Day and, you know, have that connection to the last captain to the new captain, I think that's special. That's really a good moment.
You spoke about the personality of David Wright, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that with Lindor, it's family, it's making this team a family.
Yeah.
And unlike Wright, like David, when he came here and spent most of his career here, didn't have a family. He was a single guy living in the city. So it's a little different, but he was still a great guy. He understood the role. I mean, Francisco Lindor understands this role, what this team is, and he's fully taken over it. I mean, Pete Alonso is also one of those guys, but you can tell Lindor has made it comfortable for everybody in that room in a way that nobody else in that locker room possibly can. You have to give the guy the captainship. The fan base loves him now, and he's the guy for these kids the same way David Wright was the guy for us, you know, for my generation.
And now the only question is, obviously not homegrown, you know, went to a World Series with Cleveland, had a legitimate career with Cleveland before coming here. It leads to the question of Pete Alonso, who I don't think is the captain. We all understand it's Lindor. Is really here on a one-year contract because there is no way in hell. He would have to fire Boris to opt into next year's contract. Like, Boris is going to go nuts. He's opting out. He's hitting free agency. And I think there's a real question about whether or not Pete Alonso is back with this team next year. I just really do. Unless the owner wants to come out and just tell David Stearns, look, you know I love you, David. You know how I feel about you. You're a special, special man in my life. But I'm going to always let you run this team except on this one. I'm signing Pete Alonso. It's just, we're going to get it done.
I mean, didn't that happen this offseason?
I think it kind of did, but it's different with a one-year deal. It's different with a one-year deal and no real answer at first base when you're like, sure. And again, just knowing David Stearns, and again, we don't know him that well. That's been like the premise of a lot of my entire Met conversation for this entire week, is we don't know David Stearns all that well, and we're going to get to know him at this trade down deadline a little bit more. But from what I know about him so far with the New York Mets, and just gleaning, trying to get all the information I can based on the moves he's made, the idea that he would think, like, to me, if I would like try and tell you what's in David Stearns' mind, and if I said, Pete Alonso, and then I rushed inside his ear and into his brain and saw exactly how it operated, if I said Pete Alonso, my guess would be his thought is, I just got the best of him. I just got the best year I'm ever going to get from Pete Alonso. I don't know how he's going to age. You know, I really don't want to commit big money. First base, the market's kind of changed a little bit. We've seen Vladimir Guerrero Jr. get paid the first real big-time first-base contract. There's going to be other teams out there, Yankees and some other teams, that could, you know, use a first baseman. He's not going to have the pick attached to him. The money's going to get big. The years could get big. Like, I just don't know if Stearns, in my mind, Stearns might think, hey, look, I just got the best year out of Pete Alonso. I don't want to pay for his worsts. Like, I just have that weird feeling. I'm not trying to be a jerk. We were just talking about Lindor and Wright and how great Saturday is going to be. And Pete's having an incredible year. And I wanted, if you remember in the offseason, I was killing the Mets on a daily basis for not signing him. I wanted him signed over and over again. You got to bring him back. But I just have this weird, the way the offseason went last year, and just the idea, what I got from the way they handled his contract negotiation last year, and now the idea that it's going to be more open to other teams are going to be willing to give him more money, more years, because he doesn't have picks attached to him, and he's had a prove-it year, an incredible year. He's Edwin Encarnacion. I was just joking about Edwin Encarnacion with the Yankees. Like, he is a bona fide, proven home run hitting stud. Now, the home runs are down a little bit this year, and we'll see what the final number is. But clutch RBIs, better at first base. But something just tells me David Stearns is not all that intrigued in signing him. Now, again, this could all mean absolutely nothing, and it could be a decision like there are. Juan Soto had nothing to do with David Stearns. Nothing. Nothing. Aaron Judge had nothing to do with Brian Cashman. Nothing. These are owner decisions. And now Pete Alonso doesn't necessarily have to be that, But if this owner makes it that, then all of this is for naught. It doesn't matter what David Stearns wants. The owner's going to tell him, look, this is a homegrown player. He's got a chance to chase down records. He's going to be our leading home run hitter in the franchise. Like, the fan base loves him. He's one of the guys of the team. He's important. He gets the team going. He's very animated. He's kind of a little bit of a kooky kind of guy, but it works well with us. He's our guy. I'm paying him, so deal with it. And then none of this matters. But if the owner allows it to be a baseball decision for this general manager, I think there is a very good chance we are watching the end of Pete as a Met. I really do. I hope I'm wrong, because I love the dude. He's a little bit quirky. I call him a doofus. I had to call him a doofus on the phone right to him. Pete, they put me on the spot, Carton and Roberts, back in the day when they loved putting Big Mac on the spot. I had to tell Pete Alonso to his face that I think he's a little doofy, and he knows it. I'm like, you know you're doofy. Then I had to, you know, say how great he is and how beautiful his wife is, whatever else I said. And they look great on the you know, I also kissed his ass, of course, because you got to. Yeah. Him and his wife, I think she was pregnant. She looks beautiful. He looked really good in like a cream-colored suit. Like, I love the Alonzos. I went to the comedy thing. I was backstage with him. I had a couple drinks with him. He is a great dude. Great dude. He's a little goofy, but he's a great dude. I want him back. If I'm a Met fan, I want him back. As a guy who roots for the Mets, believe it or not, I want him back. I just really don't think Stearns wants him back. I just have that weird feeling. And it won't matter if the owner doesn't care what Stearns wants, but if this is just a baseball decision and the owner is going to allow Stearns to make it, I think there's a very good chance that we are watching the last year of Pete Alonso. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good, good. I agree with you. Alonzo has to stay. You know, Cohen has to take control of that and make him a Met, you know, for life, and that's it. I don't care what Stearns is carrying.
Yeah, you want Pete Alonzo for a Met for life.
Exactly.
Yep. I think 90% of the fan base feels that way. And the owner typically does what 90% of the fan base wants. So maybe this is all for naught. But I'm just saying, if it's allowed to be a David Stearns decision, I think there's a very good chance Pete Alonso is not with the team.
No, the fans will turn on Stearns.
Yep.
It become ugly. So I don't think they'd allow that. You know, I don't think Cole would allow that to happen. And everything, even the clubhouse, it would become ugly. So. Just take care of the guy. He's been a Met. He's been a good Met.
I agree.
Bite the bullet, pay him what he wants. He might decline in a few years, so you deal with it. He'll become a 20, 25 a year anyway.
No, I don't disagree. I mean, Pete's a very good player. I'm just saying the idea that, you know, he's going to be on the wrong side of 30. What kind of now, if Pete's willing to play ball and say he'll take a 3-year deal, then I could see it. But I'm just saying, I don't know. Last year, it was different because nobody else wanted him. And I think a lot had to do with the season he had, clearly, and the idea he had picks attached to him. This year, he's coming off a much better season, and there's no picks attached to him. I just think that there's going to be more of a market for him, and the Mets are going to get into a bidding war where last year, it was kind of like nobody was really clamoring for Pete, and Pete was like, well, forget all this noise. I'm not going to take a crappy deal somewhere else. If I'm going to take a crappy deal, I'll take it with the Mets. I want to be a Met. And it wasn't a crappy deal, just a short-term deal. But I'm just like, I could just see it being different is all I'm saying. Like, this offseason is going to be different, and it's going to come down to whether or not the owner just says what you said. The fan base loves him. He's our guy. We're signing him.
Yeah, they're smart. They're making an offer now.
I said that weeks ago that I would try and make an offer to him now and see if you can get him on especially now while he's happy, having a great year, the Mets are winning. Like, you get Pete in a good mood, like, hey, let's be a Met for the rest of our career. It's David Wright Day in a couple days. Like, you want to be that? Let's just, you know, let's sign a 4-year deal of reasonable money right now and let's forget this crap. Like, maybe you can convince him of it.
Okay, I have some moves on what the Mets can do. Sprout is dominating again. Bring him up. Let him be the 5-starter. Bring McLean up. Put him in the bullpen. He's not ready as a starter, but his stuff is filthy. Would play in the bullpen. And, you know, that way they help themselves and see what they can do at trade deadline. You know, there's a list of 6-7 players they should leave alone, but the rest is up for grabs, and we need to get a third baseman, maybe Suarez if we can, and you know, get some relievers. Minnesota has a bunch of relievers, like three or four, and get an outfielder somewhere. I don't know which outfielder.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's a lot now. I mean, you're asking to get a lot. And which prospects are you willing to trade to do all that?
Well, I try to leave the top ones, you know, but, you know, we'll see what Stearns can do. He's a smart guy, but he needs to shore up third base. They're talking about, I heard a trade online right now, Beatty's involved with a blockbuster to get Suarez Suarez and somebody else.
I'd be surprised if the Mets get Suarez. I got to be honest with you. I think they would look for an upgrade. I don't think they'd look for a dramatic upgrade. I mean, maybe. I mean, they still have a rotation of young players there. And if Vientos hits, that's better than any other trade. So I don't know. I mean, I think you're looking at bullpen arms, maybe a back of the rotation starter, and then an outfield bat. I don't know if you're looking at an outfield bat. And plus, I don't think they're going to do what you said. I haven't seen that. I thought Sproat was somewhat struggling. You're saying he's been much better as of late because he hasn't really been in the conversation. He's their top pitching prospect, yes. But the conversation to make spot starts have been either Tong, who's been incredible in Double-A, and he's the guy with the strikeouts. He's the guy with the stuff. If you want to, as far as I understand it, if you were going to project one of them to just come up and go into the bullpen just based on stuff and the idea that they're not ready to make it as a starting pitcher yet, but you could bring him into the bullpen, I would think Tong would be the guy for that and not Sproat. And McLean has obviously been their best starting pitcher in the minor leagues this year with the best numbers, at least. I was under the impression Sproat was, you know, not terrible or anything, but not having that type of success at the moment. I have to go look at his last couple starts. But I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're ready to bring those guys up. The rotation just hit, like, its normal stride. Like, they just finally got the five-man they thought they were going to get. So I would be surprised. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We got 2 hours down, three more to go as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock on our five-hour midnight ride to the warm-up show. Quick break, update, come right back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.